Hey everybody, this is Jen with Job and Genuflections. This morning I posted a podcast about seasonal affective disorder, and I wanted to revisit that. For one thing, I visited with my psychiatrist today and got some feedback from him. And for another thing, I've already had questions and comments about the podcast that I posted this morning. So I feel like it deserves a little bit more time and a little bit more detail. So I'm going to start by sharing for you what the actual definition of seasonal affective disorder is. So I'm going to read this off of psychiatry.org. Seasonal affective disorder is a form of depression, also known as SAD, seasonal depression, or winter depression, in the Diagnostic Manual of Mental Disorders, DSM-5. This disorder is identified as a type of depression, major depressive disorder with seasonal pattern. People with SAD experience mood changes and symptoms very similar to depression. The symptoms usually occur during fall and winter when there is less sunlight, and usually improve with the arrival of spring. The most difficult months for people with SAD in the U.S. tend to be January and February, and that is very true for me. While it is much less common, some people experience SAD in the summer, and I do have a friend who has that. SAD is more than just winter blues. The symptoms can be distressing and overwhelming and can interfere with daily function and daily life. However, it can be treated. About 5% of adults in the U.S. experience SAD, and it typically lasts about 40% of the year. So that's pretty significant. It is more common among women than men. SAD has been linked to biochemical imbalance in the brain prompted by shorter daylight hours and less sunlight intensity in winter. As seasons change, people experience a shift in their biological internal clock or circadian rhythm that can cause them to be out of step with their daily schedule. SAD is more common in people living far from the equator, where there are fewer daylight hours in the winter. And that's when I lived in Virginia and Georgia, I did not experience SAD. It wasn't until I moved back to Nebraska. Common symptoms of SAD include fatigue, even with too much sleep, weight gain associated with overeating and carbohydrate cravings. SAD symptoms can vary from mild to severe and include many symptoms similar to major depression, such as feeling sad or having a depressed mood, loss of interest or pleasure in activities they once enjoyed, changes in appetite, usually eating more and craving carbs, changes in sleep, usually sleeping too much, loss of energy or increased fatigue despite increased sleep hours, increase in purposelessness, physical activity, for example, inability to sit still, pacing, hand wringing, slowed movements, slowed speech, and these actions must be severe enough that others will notice. Feelings of worthlessness or guilt, difficulty thinking, concentrating, or decision making, and ultimately thoughts of death or suicide. SAD may begin at any age, but it usually starts between 18 and 30. The good news is it can be treated effectively in several ways, including light therapy, antidepressant medications, talk therapy, or a combination. While symptoms will generally improve on their own with a change of season, sometimes these symptoms can improve more quickly with treatment. Light therapy involves sitting in front of a light therapy box that emits a very light sun or very bright light and filters out harmful UV rays. It usually requires 20 minutes or more per day, typically first thing in the morning during winter months. Now, I turn mine on when I get up, and I leave it on until 4 or 5. The bulbs last for a really long time. My first sunshine light lasted for 10 plus years, so that's not an issue. I just like to have that extra sunlight, and then I'll like pause and sit in front of it and then go about my day. But it is very nice. Cheerful thing to have on. And you can't wear sunglasses when you're using your light. Most people see improvements from light therapy within 1 to 2 weeks of start of treatment, and to maintain the benefits and prevent relapse, treatment is continued through the winter. Because of the anticipated return of symptoms in late fall, some people may begin light therapy in early fall to prevent symptoms. And I did, but it got me anyway. Cognitive behavioral therapy, also known as talk therapy, can effectively treat SAD. Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, also known as SSRIs, are the type of antidepressant most commonly used to treat SAD. For some people, increased exposure to sunlight can help improve symptoms of SAD. Spending time outside or arranging your home office so that you can be next to a window. Be careful of, you know, skin cancer concerns. If you have symptoms of SAD, seek the help of a trained medical professional. Just as with other forms of depression or other illnesses, it's important to make sure there is no other medical condition causing symptoms. SAD can be misdiagnosed in the presence of things like hypothyroidism, hypoglycemia, mono, and other viral infections, so its proper evaluation is really important. A mental health professional can diagnose the condition and discuss options. With the right treatment, SAD can be a manageable condition. If you feel your depression is severe, if you're having suicidal thoughts, consult a doctor immediately. Seek help at the closest emergency room, and the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-8255, and that's a free call. So now that we have a little bit more information of what we're talking about, one of the questions that I got is, why does seasonal affective disorder vary from year to year? Sometimes it's worse than others. And I find this to be true for myself as well. And I really can only, I guess, make an educated guess as to why, and maybe comment on why I think it is for me. First off, I tend to have depression anyway, and I have a vitamin D deficiency. And I actually lack the necessary gene that processes vitamin D. So I have to have constant input of vitamin D, and sometimes the vitamin D is difficult to access. And so that's one component. For other people, vitamin D varies based on your diet, based on your time outside. So that could be one reason why it changes from year to year. It can also be worse if you have other things going in your life that are depressing or sad or anxious. It varies from year to year and person to person. I've had winters that were so terrible, I considered going to the psychiatric ER. I contacted my physician and got help, but you know, sometimes you absolutely need to seek emergency help. If you have suicidal thoughts, you need to get help for those. And don't be ashamed of those. It's no different than, say, having chest pain. You know, it's a life threat. And just go get it checked out. Just go get help. So what are some of the things that I do beyond the light therapy? And I'll start with, for light therapy, you do have to have a concentrated use of it for 20 minutes where you are in front of the light. So if you have a book that you want to read, or you have maybe some homework or something like that, where you can sit at the light for 20 solid minutes, that is really optimal. And I turn mine off around 4 or 5 in the afternoon because it does affect your circadian rhythm, and so it can make it harder to sleep if you go too late in the day. But I have insomnia anyway, so who knows. Now I take a brand of vitamin D, and it's SR plant-based. I get it off of Amazon. It's a combination of D3 and K2. K2 is really important for immune support and gut health. It's 125 micrograms per pill, and that is roughly 5,000 international units. And 5,000 IU is something that we're more used to seeing here in the States. These are vegan. I believe that they are kosher. They are coconut based, and a lot of people have problems with vitamin D because there are binders in other brands of vitamin D. And I have experimented with lots of vitamin D's in the past, and this one has been the most effective for me so far. I've been on it for 2 years. My numbers are pretty well sustained. I would, if you're suspecting that you have seasonal affective disorder, I would recommend you go and get your vitamin D levels tested. Now, we've talked about in the past that I have some different conditions, and so my values may be different than yours. 30 is considered the minimum, and I think 80 is the highest. Since I have chronic idiopathic urticaria, my hives are more controlled when my vitamin D level is 70 to 80. So low vitamin D can cause so many problems beyond seasonal depression. It can cause joint pain, bone loss. I mean, there's a whole host of issues with it. So it's really important to get your level checked. It's a really simple blood test. Get your level checked, and then you're going to know how much you need to take. So for me, for example, I found out that my number was 7, and so I had to take 10,000 units of vitamin D a day for an extended period of time. Now I'm doing maintenance levels at 5,000. I will get my numbers checked again around November to see where they are and make a necessary adjustment. And vitamin D, we get from the sun, and if there's less sun, there's less vitamin D, and it is very difficult to get the numbers necessary through diet. So get that checked out. Talk to your doctor about how much you should be taking. It's rather it's inexpensive. You can get it at the store. Something else that's really good is I have a good friend who always asks me, when was the last time you ate something green? Not particularly great about drinking stuff that is green. I do make smoothies, however, that have a lot of spinach in them. I usually do like, excuse me, spinach, blueberries, apples, and water. Yeah, water. You can use coconut milk or whatever you want to do. I kind of like oat milk right now. One of the other things to take into consideration is giving yourself some grace, but don't let yourself wallow in this. You have to step up and do things about this, which I cannot overstate how difficult that can be. So, if you have a family member who suffers with this, excuse me. If you have a family member that suffers with this, don't nag them. Invite them to go for a walk. Invite them to do things that are pleasant without being like, you got to get up and go for a walk. You need sunshine. That's not going to help. They're already depressed. You have to remember that this is a disorder. This is a legitimate medical disorder, and it needs to be respected and treated such. Getting out into the sunshine, even if it is simply sitting on the porch, will help me. So, say we're in December, January timeframe, it is dark, it is dreary, it is cold. When you have a day where the sun is actually shining, I go outside not wearing a coat with my arms exposed, not wearing any sunglasses, and I just stand facing the sun. And I stand there as long as I can without freezing to death. And that helps. Getting outside, even in the wintertime, really helps. Walking outside in the wintertime really helps me. So get your diet going with, you know, green. I like to drink my vegetables and fruits, and so get those going. Get your D3, K2. See your doctor. Try to find an exercise routine that you can keep up with. And be kind to yourself. Give yourself a break. And ask your family, you know, to do the same as well. My daughter will come in and poke me and, you know, tell me that, you know, I need to get up and get going. And that's always very appreciated. I also want to add that sometimes the symptom that I have of SAD is anxiety more so than depression. And I think that just comes because I'm anticipating it being terrible. Now, there is something that helps me tremendously emotionally, and that is winter solstice. Winter solstice is the shortest day of the year. So right now, we are in the car, chugging through the cave of misery. We're just at the mouth of that misery. But December 21st, winter solstice is the shortest day of the year. And then when we wake up the next day, December 22nd, the days start getting longer. It's only a minute, 2 minutes, and then it starts jumping to 10 minutes and 15 minutes. And that really has helped my mindset. I like to have a little bit of a party on the 21st. Pandemic has ruined that for everybody. But, you know, I might make a special meal and, you know, I'm just really hyped about it because I know that we're finally going to be on that upward climb coming out of the abyss of wintertime. Yes, we still have a few months at that point to get through. But I always remind myself, okay, I have gardening season coming up next because I love gardening. This is difficult during the pandemic, but try to maintain social contacts. You know, if you can get vaccinated and associate with vaccinated people, we prefer at our household, vaxxed and masked both. But if you can meet up with some friends that are in your social distancing circle. Don't forget, we are still in a pandemic. But if you can meet up with some people safely outdoors, maybe go on a walk in the cold or whatnot, that, you know, if you're taking a walk in the cold, I really love my mask for that because it doesn't burn my lungs and so, or my nose. And so masks in the cold are actually kind of a bonus. But make some sort of social connections with people so that you're not feeling as isolated. And I think that that may have made things worse for people during the pandemic because of the isolation of not being able to interact with people in person. So if you can find a way to do that safely, I highly recommend it. I also have a therapist and I used to have in-person visits with my therapist pre-pandemic. But now we either do FaceTime, a secured FaceTime, or a secured phone call. And I find that to be very helpful. So I recommend taking these steps, getting started on these things now before things get to a more advanced state. So set up a workout routine now. Find a psychiatrist now, talk to your physician about it, find yourself a therapist so that instead of trying to pull yourself out of the hole, you're not going into that hole of seasonal depression. It's a really big deal. It's really difficult. My psychiatrist, I met with him today, like I said, He did increase the dose of my SSRI. I take lamotrigine. He did increase the dose. I have a summertime dose and a wintertime dose. My wintertime dose is 100 milligrams more than my summertime dose. He increased my vitamin D briefly and encouraged me to worry less about my sleep patterns. I mean, I think I've talked about the fact that I don't go to sleep until 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. Although I made it a goal to be asleep by 4, and I was, so I was very proud of myself. I did that. I have been, like I said, I've been very concerned about that, and lack of sleep is very damaging to your brain. His advice to me, he said, you know, from years of being a paramedic and not getting consistent sleep and training my body to wake up in the middle of the night and to stay awake for 24 hours, damages and sometimes completely eliminates your body's ability to produce natural melatonin. And I can't take melatonin supplements. So what he recommended to me is instead of focusing on changing when I sleep, I just focus on sleeping more. So be less concerned with the fact that I'm going to sleep at 4 a.m. and more concerned about getting a minimum of 6 hours of sleep consecutively. That took a lot of stress off of me because I have been worried about the fact that I can't go to sleep before 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. And society judges people who don't sleep in what is considered normal sleep periods. So there's a lot of shame around insomnia, and there's a lot of shame around the fact that, oh, you go to sleep at 4, 5, or 6 o'clock in the morning, and then you sleep until noon. You must be lazy. No, everybody is different, and that should be respected. This is how I sleep. This is how I stay sane and healthy. So shut the front door and leave me alone. Congratulations that you can get up at 4 or 5, whatever time in the morning. That's great. Congratulations to you. I also used to get up and go to work. You know, my shift started between 6:30 and 7. Yeah, I did it too. I did not get any awards for it because it is not award worthy. Okay. It's just, you do what you do. So do your best to get consecutive sleep, 8 hours a night, whatever you need, whatever amount of sleep that you need, focus on getting quality sleep. Okay. Once again, I'm not a doctor. Talk to your doctor about these kinds of things. But as for me, I no longer have to stress about changing myself to what is considered a normal sleep routine. It is perfectly acceptable for me to go to sleep whatever time. And as long as I sleep 6 hours at a minimum, that should be enough to protect my brain. And, you know, that's my situation. So I hope that this additional information has been helpful to people and answered some questions. I suspect that there'll be more questions after this, and that's fine. Go ahead and comment on my Facebook page, Java and Genuflections. It's public. You can message me. I'm also on Instagram under She's a Medic. And that's a great place to get in touch with me as well. I hope that this has helped. I'm trying to destigmatize and normalize these kinds of things because so many people have them. And we don't talk about that because we're embarrassed, because the early birds are real proud of being early birds. So, you know, put down the stigma, accept yourself, and do your very best. And I'm going to finish up with this podcast and I'm going to go for a walk. I've already spent some time outside today. But now I'm going to actually go for a walk, and I'm going to go to the Asian market and buy myself a kombucha squash, and I'm going to make myself some squash soup. So that's something to look forward to. Not everybody loves it, but I do. I think it's fantastic. So have a great day. Please share my podcast. Like I said, Java and Genuflections. Thank you very much. Bicycle.